Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
If there was a movie that they make about your fairy public breakup, do you have a name for what it might be?
The name of the movie?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Welcome back to That's a Gay Ass Podcast, the podcast that asks, whose fault is it that you're gay? It is me, Eric Williams, and this week we have Ian Paget on this gosh darn podcast, the Broadway bitch, internet celeb, and also a host of the new podcast, It's Giving Cher. It's such a good episode, and I'm so excited. This is my life. Speaking of my life, this past week, I went on a trip with my family to a lake in Missouri, my home state. While I was there, it was revealed to me by one of you listeners that he has found a gay Twitter porn star who is my twin. Yes, the New York Times did an article recently about doppelgangers that share a lot of your DNA, and I come to find out that my real identical twin is getting plowed on the internet, and I support his journey because he does it well. Thank you for everyone who reached out about the side-to-side pictures that I posted on my Instagram story. If you missed it and you want the picture for yourself, I'm happy to send. It's the least I could do to thank him for his service, literally. I will say also on this trip, I finally got my actual twin brother, who does happen to be straight. I got him to do some videos with me, and of course, they are blowing up on TikTok. So please take a look, see if you feel so inclined. Speaking of TikTok, if you like this episode with Ian Paget, feel free to press that cute subscribe button and listen to our past episodes with some really amazing TikTokers themselves. We have had Nick Norsha on, Rivka Reyes, Mr. D times 3 himself, Joe Dombrowski, Eric Cedeno, aka Rico Taquito. So yeah, live your dream, live your truth, and go for that. But let's get into this episode with Mr. Ian Paget. We not only talk about his trip to Ibiza, where he did come face to face with a gorgeous blue-eyed naked man on the beach, we also giggle like school children talking about $1 million merchandising idea. Also about having so many eyes on you during a very tough moment of life with that big old breakup. So definitely stay tuned till the end of the episode. And again, press subscribe if you want more episodes. A huge guest is coming on next week as well. And I'm just so grateful you are here. Hope you had a great weekend. Stay cool for God's sake. And a lovely sandwich.
I don't know, even know where to begin, Bipes, because Ian Paget is on That's a Gay Ass Podcast, and I think it's a big day for me, the community, the world, and thank you for coming on, Ian.
Oh my God, of course. Thank you for having me. What's your name? Just kidding. No, I'm so excited to be here. P.S. Did this happen because of Sydney Baudouin?
It 100% did, Ian.
So, like, walk me through, are you in a show with her currently?
We dated when I was... No, I'm kidding. We went to college together, and one of her besties is one of my besties from literally 6 years old. So I've known Sydney since I was like 18 or 19.
Wow, that's crazy. And she's still technically 20, so it's
And
it's
she
almost
still
like...
is 20. That was going to be my next question was, okay, if I've said I've known her since I was 18 or 19, you have to guess now, how many years does that mean I've known her for?
9 years.
Ian, and this is why I love you so much.
Because I'm accurate as fuck?
What if I was like, I'm actually 24. No, I'm turning 33, and...
Oh, work.
I want you to... I've done a lot of that, actually. I've gotten an eyebrow implant. Every hair you see is actually horse hair. And
Ooh.
Then my chest hair is from... that's actually chinchilla
Moschino.
Fur.
Oh, Moschino. It's chinchilla.
Well, Moschino designed it, but they sourced it from chinchilla.
They outsourced it. Oh,
is your chest hair natural?
So my chest hair is actually it's imported as well, but this is Saint Laurent.
Oh my God, I love their work. Yeah, I can
they were
tell.
Out There's... of it for a really long time, but I obviously, like, it was like kind of with the Birkin bag, like I was like on the list and I was like, can you put me on the top of the list? And so they just like made some things happen because I was someone to them, you know?
Sure, sure, sure. I mean, sometimes it takes a lot of social capital to get the body hair that you deserve, and I'm glad that we both were able to find that.
Absolutely. So many people came together to make it happen, and I'm very, very grateful.
And we're thankful to your team for that. Ian, this is so exciting. Yes, so Sydney is the connection to how we have now met, and I feel that it was meant to be. How did you meet Sydney? Since I were you doing a show together?
No, so Sydney and I actually, it feels like we did, but we didn't. She joined Mamma Mia a year, 2 years after I had left, and you kind of, at least in that show, like, because so many people had been there for a while, like, you really do make family members with people in that show, and those people are truly, like, ride or dies with me still. And she was one of the people who, like, my circle also became friends with, because I left, and, like, some people stayed after me, and so we just started hanging out, and I would still go back and visit, and every time I'd, like, maybe go see, like, I think at the something reunion or this or that, like, we just started hanging, and I was like, oh my God, you're me, but a black girl, or a half black girl, and we just both are on the same page about, like, everything, and we clicked, and she's just, like, she's my, like, TikTok dance partner now, and I love her, but we actually never did Mamma Mia together.
That is so crazy. I do remember when she was in Mamma Mia, and I want to ask a controversial question, which is Mamma Mia, the movie, and Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again. Do you feel that there should be a third movie, or do you think the deed has been done and we should keep it at two?
I think make the next movie. I love that world. And if Meryl is still a part of it, absolutely. Just like anything with Meryl, honestly, that whole cast, her, Christine Baranski, because like, kind of like, and just like that, I'm like, I want to see where they're at now. Like, show me the journey, or don't show me the journey. Just like, write it and then like fill us in as the movie goes. My thing is like, what would it be called? So if Mamma Mia, Here I Go Again is number two, number three is like,
yes. Mamma Mia, she already done had hers.
There's something there. We'll workshop it and we'll see if Paramount will do it.
We'll take it out of town. We'll figure it out. I do, since you brought up SATC, as I know you are a fan, have you heard about Aiden coming back for next season of And Just Like That?
I did. I saw that he is going to have, I forget what the wording was on like Hollywood Reporter or like Deadline or something, but he's going to have something arc. The word arc was used. And I'm really excited because I'm like, what the hell are they going to do with him? Like, where is that going to go? Because if we lost Big on that first episode, by the way, which I'm still recovering from, like, that, the first time I saw that, first time, because I watched it a couple times, that first episode, I like, did not, I was like, wait. Like, up until she said, and just like that, Big died, before that moment, I was like, oh, okay, so he's having a heart attack, and, like, he's just going to be in a hospital bed for the whole season, and so we don't have to use him. They're, like, riding him on a bed.
Sure.
And then they killed him. And I was just like, oh, shit. All bets are off.
Killed him via Peloton, which I thought was a bit of a mess, personally.
That's camp. We call that camp. I'm calling that camp. That is camp to me. Like,
I think the campiness was elevated by the fact that it was supposed to be a paid sponsorship, that Peloton was doing ad placement in And Just Like That.
Wait, we know that for sure?
Well, now you're making me doubt it, but I thought that they had negotiated that he was going to be using a Peloton, but that they did not know that they were going to use it to orchestrate Big's death.
Great, thank you. That would have been my question if I was the executive producer of said deal. I would have. I mean, now that person knows. Anytime we do brand deals, we need the copy firsthand. We need to know how it's being used. Because, exactly. wow.
I mean, that's camp to me, to the, where, like, they spent $10 million to put their product as a central figure in And Just Like That, and it turns out to be, like, the thing that kills a beloved character. Go off.
And then go off and spend 20 more to try to, like, fix it.
Course correct. Yeah,
exactly.
I hope that Aiden is, like, I hope that, at the very least, Carrie has a one moment to get absolutely railed by him. I think she deserves that, and so do we.
Yeah, I mean, if we, I don't know how much of a fan you are of the show, but like, last we saw him, he had a kid and there was a new wife. And so that is where my curiosity is. I can't wait to see what Michael Patrick King has written for that.
Were you a big My Big Fat Greek Wedding fan? Speaking of Aiden.
I was, but not when it first came out. I remember when it first came out. I don't remember how old I was, but like there was a moment where it like it missed me. There are moments in pop culture and like life and in my life that like I caught up after everyone experienced it firsthand. Sure. But My Big Fat Greek Wedding is such a good movie. I could have taken John Taylor Corbett, like fine. It's John Taylor, right? John Taylor Corbett?
I'm believing you. It's either John Corbett or John Taylor, but let's
It's actually,
with.
No, you're right. It's John Corbett. So sorry. But three names would be good. So if he's ever like thinking of a rebrand, like I'd suggest John Taylor. But I was always like, yeah, whatever. It's fine.
Were you a Steve girl for Sex and the City? Would you rather sleep with Big, Aiden, or Steve?
Steve, hands down. Hands down, right. Hands up, hands on the wall. Like, absolutely Steve. He to me was the best. He had such a great bubble butt. Any of the scenes where they were having sex, I was like, wow. Like,
it was about the butt. It was about the butt. It was about the hair around the nipples, and it was about the butt.
And he had a great six-pack. There's that moment where he's like, he like hits himself, and Miranda is having like doubts. Or no, she's not having doubts. She like is thinking she likes him again. And so he's like playing with the basketball, and then he like lifts up his shirt, and he's like chubby or something, and he like hits it. But like even as he like lets his gut. He says gut. I'm like, I still see your six-pack.
Yeah, that's Faye. That's not a gut. Let's work on our definition of a gut. And yeah, delish. I do want to ask a controversial question, which is the rumors on the internet is that you were recently in Ibiza.
I was.
And I want to know how that trip was, Ian. Can you confirm that it was good?
It was good. It was great. Ibiza is a beautiful, beautiful place. It's a very... So I joined in on an itinerary that was already planned. My friend Alex and his group of friends were going to celebrate our friend Chris, who was in that group. And because of some people dropping out, I was then available to go. Mm-hmm. AKA, I was on the callback list. No, but like it just worked out that like I could go and...
Was this a group of gays?
Mm-hmm. It was a group of gays.
I actually have never done a big... I don't know if I'm ashamed to say this, but this is my truth, that I have never traveled with a big group of gays. And I'm curious, how are the dynams?
So the dynams were actually really amazing. It was one of the best parts of the trip. The vibe was so together. We all just were on the same page about, like, I woke up and I would cook. Someone else would... Like, there was just such camaraderie and, like, collaboration around the whole trip. And people being like, well, I think we should do this. And being like, oh, yeah, thank you. That's a great idea. Like, it was just really easy. Like, truly, truly easy.
What you're describing is a rare babe.
It was amazing.
Because group trips are hard in general. And group activity. Like, even, like, I'm about to go on a family trip with my family. My immediate family has 13 people. So it's like, there's four siblings. We all have significant others, our parents. And then there's now three children. And so... Even just planning a single thing, I think it's going to take a lot of tiered voting, when it's like,
yeah,
a group like that in Ibiza with gay people, I'm obsessed that it was such a gorgeous camaraderie moment. Was there any, I think I'm legally contracted to ask you, was anybody having hookups with locals, with people traveling, or with each other in the group?
No, well, there were two couples and then three singles, and the three singles did not hook up with anyone. I had like a little like moment. I was like, oh, like there's a guy like on the beach that I was like, kind of like, oh, he's got the most crystal blue eyes and like the tannest Italian skin I had ever seen, but nothing happened. And like, that was the other aspect of the trip that I loved. I was like, oh, we're all just here to have fun with each other. And it didn't become about like looking for trade.
Yes. Did the blue-eyed Italian talk to you?
Oh yeah. 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 This blue-eyed Italian was so fierce. He was Italian, but lives in Brussels, and like the beach we were on was a nude beach, and he was nude when he was talking to us the whole time. And then at one point I was like talking to my friend Alex, and like I kind of joined in on the group late because I was living an aerial dream in the water, which I tend to always do. Like literally it's like, where's Ian? And it's like, he's always in the water by himself, just like swimming. So that's what I was
doing. Look at this stuff, isn't it neat?
Yeah. And really just like wishing like daddy, like Triton was there, but he wasn't. I know. Talk about like what made you gay kind of thing, which we'll get into, I'm sure. But so I joined the group, and I clocked. I was like, oh, there's like a naked person talking to them. And he had like a great body, blah, blah. But then like I got there and we were all talking, and it was actually so not a thing because it was happening all around us. But
it's Europe. I mean,
it's Europe. It's giving flesh. You know what I mean? It's just flesh. Like, it's giving flesh. And like, we all have it. So like, if you got it, show it, flaunt it, flesh it, actually.
turn on the fleshlight, if you
will. Yes. And so I'll just leave you with this. But like at one point we were talking, me and this person, and you know, you're kind of like so fixated on their eyes because you're just like, I'm not going to look at that. I'm not going to look at your dick or whatever. And then we were all leaving and my friend came over and they were like, he got a little hard when he started talking to you. And I was like, no way. Because I literally was so hyper-focused on his eyes. And like, you could see it. They all saw it. It was such a funny moment.
Whoa, that is so good.
I'm like packing up the towel and I'm just like, like giggling.
Did you ever get a glimpse of his wiener?
Yeah, of course. On the way to, like walking to the group. Like when we were all talking.
Well, I want to know about a European dick. Was he how hairy was he? Was he shaved? Did he have bouche?
It wasn't like so much of an amuse-bouche, but it was uncut.
Hell yeah. Come
and
on.
And it was like
hood.
It was great. From what I saw and what we all saw, like it was great. I wasn't just fixated on his eyes for no reason. You know what I mean?
Hello. You were trying to escape the uncut python growing and creeping up your goddamn shoulder, trying to whisper in your ear.
Wow, these sweet nothings. You should be a writer.
Did I just create erotica?
All you need is some verse and we're good.
And then we're good. Well, since we gave a little tease, Ian Padgett, I want to ask you the famous podcast question, which is, whose fault is it that you're gay? Who do we blame, babe?
Well, this week, it could have been King Triton, a subconscious King Triton moment that you just like didn't know. Because it could have also been Ariel, you know what I mean? I don't know. Ask me last week and it could have been like Rita Moreno and West Side Story. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. When you were a kid, did you do the towel around your hair and pretend it was like an aerial weave?
Oh, no. But I always, always would like cross my legs in the pool and pretend to be Ariel. And if my sister didn't play with me, it was like I was just like upset. But then I'm like, okay, so then I'll just be like a mermaid by myself.
It's a one-man show, honey.
Yes, exactly. But yeah, like King Triton, one could also say Babs in Hello Dolly was a big moment for me.
I love how big of a theater queen you are.
I grew up on, like, those are, that movie specifically, I grew up on. My dad is in the business, so like, in our nursery, we had all these shelves of tapes recorded, because back then he just recorded all the movies. And so we had a giant plethora of movies, and like that's where I would watch all of my stuff.
It's so good to have all of these Broadway classics around you, and your fucking dad is the person in helping introduce you.
So technically, my dad is the reason I'm gay.
We blame Mr. Padgett.
Mr. Padgett.
Yes. You know what I also need to ask you about? I think that you kind of like change the course of history of gay people is that you told your dad you were gay before you told your mom. Is that true?
I did. Yes. Yes.
So what was it like coming out to him, and why did you feel that that was the person to tell?
Well, my dad and I have always had this connection that's different from my mom. My mom and I connect in a very kind of like conversational, we can talk about family, easy, everyday stuff, mm-hmm. joke. Like she's maybe more personable with me on like a everyday kind of relatable level. But then there was a way that my dad and I connected because he's in the business. And he has always been kind of like, I joke about this and truly because it is a joke, but he's always been like my Mama Rose. And not pushy, not anything like that and at all, but just like always wants the best for me, is always wanting like, what's next? Like, are you excited? You know, he just makes me excited and gets me motivated for being a performer.
Can I ask what your dad does in the biz?
So he's retired now, but like he grew up as an actor and he was on shows like The Many Loves of Dobie Gillis, and he was on like My Favorite Martian, like OG stuff. And then he started directing like a bunch of movies. Like at one point he lived in Europe and made a lot of movies in like Rome and shit. So it's like not anything anyone knows, but like he's had a really, really cool life, met a lot of cool people. And who can say that like Robert De Niro has been to your baptism?
Not me, babe.
Yeah. So anyway, so that's like, he's like literally like, the reason why I know what I know about trivia is because growing up, my dad, every time he watched a movie was like, something, this person, funny fact, he just knew all these things. Because we bonded on that, I think when I got to high school and there was this moment in time where he was picking me up from junior prom and I was in a good mood and feeling like, I don't know, I'm a little vulnerable today and I'm feeling like I want to relate. I felt comfortable enough in that moment to be like, Dad, like, I want to tell you something. And he was like, What made me feel better was when he said, are you going to tell me you like boys? And I was just like, yeah. He's like, Ian. You're my son. Like, I've known since you were a toddler. And, like, just the way he said it and, you know, it just, like, I will always, always remember that because he gets me. He does really get me and he gets my world and he gives me space when I need it. And sometimes I think he's more annoying than he is and I feel bad about that. But really, mm-hmm. I just love the shit out of him. And,
how did you feel when he said, are you going to tell me like boys? And of course, I love you. Like, what was that feeling right after you told him?
I mean, it's been a while. I don't remember. But like, I think I was just like, okay, well, you're making this a lot easier for me. That's for sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was like, yes. I think it was just as simple. Like, he was helping me cue through yeah. it.
What I think he did is I think what most parents should aspire to do forever, which is just say, of course, whatever you are, I love. And also what it sounds like he did is that he almost like lessened how big of a deal you were building it up to be.
Absolutely.
And that is the biggest gift that a parent can give. It's just like, I know that you're fucking freaking out in your head and there's a lot of insane thoughts, but yeah, of course, I knew. I know. I love. Now, do you want to get some Burger King?
Yeah. / also, like, we're not telling your mother. And
okay, sure.
And in the moment, I was like, oh, okay. He's like, yeah, you know, like, what she won't know won't hurt her, blah, blah. Like, and he knew her better than I at that point, obviously, whatever. But, like, it was a moment that lived with me and my dad, and that was enough. That baby step yeah. was enough for me.
Did you tell your friends?
So, gosh, such a funny story around, I joined this high school, this performing arts high school in Florida called New World School of the Arts, and it was my freshman year. I had been away from the arts for a while because when I lived in the UK, I was doing dance and singing and the whole spiel, and then we moved to the States, and I was like, I want to be a regular kid. I don't want to do what anyone's telling me to do, and so I, like, seventh and eighth grade, I, like, wasn't acting, I wasn't dancing, yeah. nothing. And then freshman year was approaching, and I remember my dad was like, you should go to this high school, they're auditioning, I think it would be good for you, blah blah blah. So me and my sister auditioned, I got in, and when I joined freshman year, it's like everyone else knew before me, right? It's like I wasn't sure how to like express it, and you're just like, there's fear and this and I don't know. But there was a freshman party, like mid-year party for I forget whose birthday, and like the girls in my musical theater class, Allison Isikoff, Annalise Collette, Kelly LaFarga, who's now one of my best friends, who's on tour with Wicked, actually. And then, like, Noemi Del Rio, like, all kind of, like, swarmed at me. And they're just like, Ian, like, is there something you want to, like, tell us? Like, it's really okay. Like, it's okay. Like, but they weren't saying, like, it's okay to be gay. They were just like, is there that thing? Again, don't really remember because it's been a while. And I was like, okay, like, yeah, like, I am. And they're like, oh, my God. And then it turned to this whole thing, and we had a dancey moment, and it was fierce. And then I took it back the next day. So we, like, went to school, and then I was
I reneged.
I had a Brene Brown, like, vulnerability hangover, and I was like, nah. Like, no. I just said that then to, like, get you guys, whatever I said. But I tried to back out of it.
And then were they like, nah, girl, put your pearls back on and yeah. sissy that walk.
Yeah, I think so. I think they were like, put your silver PacSun, like, ball necklace back on and just, like, call it a day, because that is what I was wearing at that time.
The camera pans down to your, like, rainbow shoes, and you're just, like, trying to hide them. It's the only reference I could have for a gay thing that you were wearing. I will say every episode if I need to, that our girlies are the people who got us, get us, and will continue to get us through. Amen.
Absolutely. Like, I obviously joke about that moment and the taking it back, but it wasn't because I was, like, you know, scared. There was no feeling of not feeling supported. It was just like, you're nervous because you've declared yeah. a thing that now all of a sudden, like, moves you into a new.
And you were young.
You're so young. Oh my God. And that I was younger than all of them, because when I moved from London and I remembered I was joining sixth grade, the class age-wise, I should have been in a 2000, if I graduated in 04, I should have been in the 05 class.
Sure.
But because they were like, oh, like, he's with it and smart enough, like, he can be just, he'll be the baby in the older class. So I was always, like, a year and a half. And because my birthday's in February, people were, like, 13, 14, and I was, like, turning 12.
Jesus.
Which is crazy.
That's a child.
Yeah, I
was
a child.
Have you seen that video? Have you seen the video of the girl doing like the chat roulette? That or like the guy's like, that's a child.
No, I'm just laughing at your reenactment of it because that was funny. That got me.
She goes, it's brilliant. It's this like gay guy that just goes, that's a child. And it's this, like fucking bitchy 8-year-old that's going, and you're a piggly eyed bitch. And then she's like, says something else. She's like, bye. And then he just goes, and it's.
Oh.
And so I always like to quote, that's a child.
That's a child. You're going to have to send me that TikTok.
Oh, I will. I will. Please it is send so me the TikTok. Good. It is canon. It is definite K canon. Well, the question I now need to ask as you were that's a child coming out. Was your first boy kiss at like your like bar mitzvah?
I'm not Jewish, but.
I know. I just needed to reference a 13-year-old thing. Oh.
I know.
Was it at your confirmation?
Oh my
was
god
it Nona's spaghetti eighth
god.
Grade bash
I'm trying to think my okay so my first kiss slash like I think like my first like playing around moment was like an after school special with like two of my friends who I'd play video games with, and like one of them I remember just like not being aware of why I was drawn to him, but I was like, oh, I think I just was attracted to this boy. And,
yes.
And like,
are you telling me you did group play for your first kiss?
No. I'm saying like out of that group, one of them was one who mind you, this was before I came out, but there was some experimenting, you know, some experimenting.
I'm always jealous of people who did experimenting at this age because I was always too afraid to. And look, nothing would have changed my destiny and my future now. But like, there were so many close calls where I could have. I mean, no, there was no chance I would have back in the time. But I wish I had.
So here's the thing, though, about that. I talk about this a lot because I think there's a bit of programming that happened because of it. Because of the so when you're saying I'm jealous of those people, it's like, well, from my experience, I actually think that sometimes I, like, to my detriment, like, seek out, it needs to feel like it's on the DL, or it needs to feel discreet in order for it to feel sexy. So, and I think I learned that.
A bit of like not a kink, but
it's a learned behavior that feels like that's the way I know that that's just like, those were the first experiences. And I think actually a lot of gay men's experience is like hidden and blah, 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 and like with this sense of fear around it, like we're going to get caught.
Yes. That is so smart, because I have a massage fantasy where the masseuse like all of a sudden goes downtown to Browntown, and then I also have a steam room fantasy, and like I'm not a part of any gyms that even have that, but like that's I think probably a learned thing.
Probably, and I think maybe because you didn't experience it growing up the way that you're saying you wished is why you have those fantasies.
Yes.
And when I hear friends who talk about like who are like super open about like, oh my god, like this happened and blah blah blah, I feel a sense of shame when I hear that, because like I don't feel as comfortable, because to me it stems from it's too close to my experience. Yeah.
It feels almost like you're, in a way, maybe it almost feels dangerous because at the time you knew that it was not something that was quote unquote allowed. And now when people talk about it, it takes you back to that. And I definitely have people very close to me in my life who, if sex comes up, it can feel like you're saying, like either feelings of shame or uncomfortability. And I really like to be open and talk about it, which is maybe me rebelling against. You know what it is? Actually, if I'm really unpacking it, it's my family. I come from a very kind of crude, crass sense of humor, mm-hmm. which is partly why I have that. But I think I'm rebelling against the fact that when I was a kid, I couldn't talk openly about my horny things because it wasn't allowed. So now I'm like, fuck that. I'm going to talk about the masseuse all of a sudden turning me over mm-hmm. and A, B, C, D, E.
I love that. I love that you feel free enough to do that. I'm even having like I even sharing with you in this moment feels really nice, because I know deep down you like understand what I mean. And you're like, oh my God, like, yes, it feels, but it's also like very vulnerable to kind of share mm-hmm. that, because, you know, it's, but it's also like, it is what it is. And it's, if someone hearing this can go, oh my God, like that's totally like what's happened with me, blah, blah, blah. If it can like raise some sort of awareness, and it's all worth it. And Ian, calm down.
Hey, Ian, calm up, calm down, calm in between and round. I think that what is most important is that even just like acknowledging any shame is already a gorgeous step, because we learned a lot of shame that it's an exciting experiment to see what we can look into the future of, like, what if I actually celebrate the fact that I am what I am. And if that means being more open or just knowing in your head that it means a difference of clicking something in your head, like that's fucking gorgeous.
Yeah. Oh my God. Gorgeous. It's not, it's, oh God, I was going to make like a, couldn't do it. Not fast enough. But I was just trying to make like a sort of like Versace, gorgeous situation is just gorgeous, where it took me.
Versace, and we are belaced. That's blessed, but with a mispronunciation. So, you know what? I'm so excited that not you're not only doing this podcast, but that you yourself have a podcast, which is It's Giving Share, S-H-A-R-E. What a good title. Who gets credit for that?
So we were, I think Zach was saying it. So here's the thing. Zach Mellon, my co-host, I think was the one who said those three words right after each other. And then I was like, oh, what if it's giving share? And it was just one of those things where it was like, I love that because I always say it's giving. And a joke between me and Mario Cantone actually is he's like, Ian, if you it's giving me one more, like... Like, he clocked it when we first met and we were, like, you know, becoming friends. And he would start to, like, pry at, like, his poking would just be like, is it, what is it giving? Is it giving something, something? Because he just, like, hates that term. He's like, can you just tell me, like, what the thing is?
Yes.
And so I was like, oh, that feels really, really, like, I like that it's got an anecdote attached to it from me slash...
It's Shawn play on words, huh?
And the Shawn Mendes of it all and the play on words. I was just like, this to me, this is my kind of brand. And so
yes.
We all unanimously were like, that's it. So, and if no it's one like else finding, gets it.
Oh no, fine. They get it, babe. And it's also like putting gay lightning in a bottle. You fucking found the title. You found it's giving reference. It's giving.
Because it's a double meta, triple meta. Cause it's giving reference to Shawn Mendes, him talking about Cher, but then you can add actual Cher, the icon Cher. It's just amazing.
The icon Cher. And you're also sharing with each other, with your audience, the gift that keeps on sharing, if you will. You know what that brings up for me is that I have done a bunch of musical theater, but it's more of like a past life for me. I'm more of doing like the comedy writing thing. But when I did a musical in 2018, I was on tour and I quickly adapted to saying, come on, blank, come on, boop, come on, come on, go. And by the time I got back, all my friends were like, shut the fuck up. Stop coming on. And I was like,
oh my God, come on. That was a thing. That was such a thing.
It was such a thing. And it's like, you also can insert like, come on, bottle. And it's like, you're just holding a Contigo water bottle.
Oh my God. It was so part of our thing. I forget where I felt like it was. That's the only thing is I never know the origin. And like,
yeah.
Within my friend group, I tend to like, I have like friends who were either the Sydney Bedouins who were like in the show with me. They're like kind of my age or not. And then I also have, I'm like friends with like the older actors and like hanging out with Mario Cantone and Jerry Dixon. And like, I love to learn from them and be with them because like they have a different kind of sass. And so like, I come to them and I'm talking the way I'm talking and they're looking at me like I'm crazy. And I'm just like, where did it come from though? Because when I'm with them, I think I originated it. I'm like, well, I'm the one who's bringing it to you. So I am technically... I'm the Joseph Smith of this new book. And it's not of Mormon, but it's of giving. This is the book of giving, and I'm giving it
okay.
to you.
Okay, you need to fucking trademark that yesterday, hun. The book of giving? Are you joking? I'm seeing merch. I'm seeing blankets. I am seeing wall art. I am seeing Target displays, hun.
I'm sorry. The book of giving. Oh, my God. And so many, you can have so many spin-offs. It can go
literally.
It can go porny. It can go Thanksgiving. It can go Christmas.
Not Thanksgiving. It's giving pilgrim, bitch.
Oh my God. And it's like the book of, oh God, there's so many things. This is not a powwow about the merch we're about to make.
Woo! Literally, I cannot wait to quit any other job and just be on QVC. It's giving. It's giving duster.
Oh my God. It's the book of giving, and I'm giving it to you.
And I'm giving it, I mean, listen, I'm seeing audiobooks, I'm seeing wide release movies,
You said audio, and my brain went to like Audra McDonald, and I was just like, what is she doing right now? Like, where in the world is Audra? And like, what is she doing right now?
Gay people deserve a Big Brother-esque camera of always watching Audra McDonald and what she's doing.
Absolutely. And Bernadette Peters.
and Bernadette, which, by the way, on the Cinderella special, obviously it's a tack to talk about how Bernadette Peters doesn't age, but like they're showing clips from the Cinderella movie from whatever year it was, and then her in a confessional talking about,
you know, and what she's feeling about it today,
and then she looks the exact same.
Exact same. I would even dare say she looks better.
Better. And also, like, what I aspire to is when I get work done, I want the work to be so good that it doesn't look like I got it. I just look pristine.
Yeah, I mean, you're definitely asking for what every single person I think wants, and then they go in and then they come back out and I'm like, so where in the brand deal of it all with the Peloton and wrong? The big and like not seeing the copy, was there something missed?
Good callback. No. It truly, there's something that was not filled in the middle there, and they come out looking like, insert many people here.
LOL. But like when it comes to plastic surgery, yeah, like that's the dream. Please make me look like nothing happened, but yet everyone's wondering what happened to you.
I want a lot of questions that they can't get the answer to.
Absolutely.
And that's giving plastic surgery. It's come on, Serge. Come on, under the knife. Like, kill me.
Wow.
Come on, Nip Tuck.
Oh, my God.
I want to ask something that, like, it. I can only imagine that you, since you went, you are such a star, B, so funny, C, so gorgeous, D, such a great career, and E, such a social media celeb. You probably get asked so many insane questions. And the only question I want to ask about the famous breakup is that if there was a movie that they make about your very public breakup, do you have a name for what it might be?
The name of the movie?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, take any time, like, or we can even do like a whiteboard breakout room sesh.
And do a little powwow on that. Oh my God, what would I name the title of the breakup? Because it would be like from the breakup and on, like just like that.
It would be a movie about like the whirlwind of the growing of the audience and the relationship and then the breakup and then all of a sudden like you're on E! News and like wow.
I don't know, but I think like tick, like the words TikTok have to be somehow involved, like TikTok. That might be a little too close to home for me, and so like my creative outlet on it is just a little like I don't know, like I don't know, conscious uncoupling, like, I don't even know.
Oh, already this is why you're so smart, because you're already coming up with things, even though it is so close. I think we can leave it there then, because any good story is really about, like, these larger-than-life feelings, and I can only imagine the larger-than-life feelings. And so, are we living a single life and feeling gorgeous?
We're living a single life, and we are feeling gorgeous. I definitely am doing a lot of like searching around like my soul and like self, and there's a lot of introspection, and sometimes that can get a little too debilitating, because I'm just like, Ian, you just need to like get the fuck out of your own way and just like do something. Yeah. And so that was like Ibiza. I was like, oh, like I want to go do that. That sounds fun. Like, okay, go do some fun things and just like remember that like you're good. Everything is okay. And
be present and not thinking and like getting lost. Sometimes like introspection leads to lostness in thoughts. Yes, and sometimes you're like,
yeah. So that's where the podcast is actually going to be super helpful, because like my friend Sloan, who was like, Ian, I think that's how this all happened. And she was like, I just really feel like, I know you feel like you're not sharing yourself anymore with the world, because it's like, you're no longer a part of this. There was just so many things around the isolation that came after that breakup that like was needed, but then also was like also growing the same want to, but I want to get that connection back with the world, because there was something beautiful about like sharing a side of myself that people really clicked with. And so the It's Giving Share is a way that I think we're going to do that.
I love that so much. And I think, you know what it is? It reminds me that every person knows the special magic they have. And when you're tapping into it, there's no feeling like it. And so I think like in whatever situation, whether it's like a great job or relationship or whatever, you sometimes can find that feeling. And then when the job, relationship, whatever ends, if you know that you are capable of representing yourself in a really authentic way. And so finding that, I 100% think that It's Giving Share is that thing. And I'm so fucking excited for you for it. And I think that's also why like this podcast for me, it's so exciting. I feel so great about the future, especially for It's Giving Share. You know what? I feel like because I'm so fully obsessed with talking to you, I haven't asked a famous podcast question, which is Ian Paget. If the world was ending, you could only save one character actress, who would you save?
Kiki Palmer. Hands down.
As a Jew, I'm crossing myself.
Yeah, that's like a no-brainer. I just think she's the bee's knees. I love her to death. I want to work with her so bad. I think she's the queen of yes-anding.
Yes.
And I think she... Go, what?
She could teach a class on talk show interviewing. I think she... Absolutely. Like, because a very good... That's why her fucking... what's it, the Vogue video of, like, I'm sorry to this man?
Oh,
like,
with...
Dick Cheney, she's like, I forget.
Yes. Oh my God, yes.
If I saw this man on the street, I wouldn't know a thing. I'm sorry, this man. I think like she, no matter what interview you're watching, you're like, fuck, is she going to be able to replicate how magical she is? And she does every time. She gives it to you every time at the ball. Like she, every single time. And I think that is so difficult.
It is really difficult. It's like, but she makes it seem so easy. And I think like what I love about watching her is I'm like, oh, you are such a ball of energy. And I feel like I'm a ball of energy who's always trying to control my energy. So when I see someone who's handling her energy in such a fun, like effervescent way, it's like, oh, you have this energy, but you're also capable of holding the space for it. Like she balances it out for herself. And so you're just like watching, fierceness. It's just so great.
You're watching fierceness and you're watching someone who knows their worth, knows their magic, and doesn't try to dim their light based on what someone else has said. And that is something for us all to aspire to because, listen, for people like the Ians and the Erics of the world who do have a lot of energy, we need to be surrounded by people that, of course, like keep us grounded, but also, I think, encourage... like, you know, like the Sydneys, like the, like really make us feel magical. Because if I know anything, it's that especially queer people, but so many people, like I really felt like I was dimmed in many ways just based on what I was supposed to act like. Like, of course, the very like low hanging fruit things of like, I wanted to play with a doll. I wanted to put on the dress. I wanted to boo, 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 boo. But like, as adults, if we're the ones censoring ourselves, I think that is not the vibe, mama. I think it's like, let's let someone else do that. We need to just like explode the magic. And then fucking, if whatever happens, like that's, we know it's magic and Kiki knows it's magic. And Kiki is not listening to someone who I'm sure inevitably told her, especially being a young person in the business and now growing up. It's like, I'm sure she was told so much bullshit, but she did not listen because she knows she is Kiki goddamn Palmer.
Yeah. And... You really did just say it, like, don't put on the editor censor hat. Let someone else do that. And you just be your actor. Be your person.
Yes.
And,
yes.
like, that is the
They'll
hat.
They'll fix it in post.
Exactly. Although there's nothing to fix is the other thing. It's like,
you caught me.
There's nothing even there. But, like, you're so right. And I really suffer from that. Like, I feel like I'm trying to find a balance of, like, not censoring myself and, like...
Yeah.
Drawing a line of like how I want to share what I want to share about me because I was just in a 2-year very public relationship and sharing myself a lot and like it was like really fun and amazing and also like attributed to our relationship kind of like having its conflict sometimes, you know what I mean?
Well, I'm sure the editor in your brain was probably, oh, you know what it God. Did probably, is it probably really almost like the critics in our brains and the things that make us tick in a negative way, that scenario was, of course, like you're saying, so many beautiful, great things, but also it like, the critics were like getting fed so much because of, you have not only all the eyes, but like you're putting things out there in such a way that it's making you edit in a way that you're it's not actually good for you.
Yes, yeah, exactly. And the self-editing hurt us. Like if I wasn't doing that or if that high intense thing hadn't been happening, like I think we would probably still be together.
Wow.
Maybe, you know.
Well, that's the thing is what's hard about it too is that you never what I try not to do that. It's fucking hard for me is that I'm finding myself as I'm getting older into my 30s of like realizing the things that I've done to listen to have the editors really be on high like I've been paying them too much of a salary. And now that I'm lessening the salary of my editors, I'm realizing how much of the magic that I can put out to the world. And so then I go like what you're saying a little bit of like, okay, well, what if this had happened? What would be different? And it's such a hard thing to do because what matters is, of course, where we are right now. But I do sometimes look at my past and regret the years. You know, I graduated from college. At this point, it's been 10 years. And I think a lot of the years post-college, I was so worried about not doing the right thing versus doing what I actually felt was genuine to me. And now that I'm leading with my genuine self, it's completely changed how I feel about my day-to-day existence. And I wish I'd done this earlier. Mm-hmm. But again, it's like fucking awful to try and spend too much time thinking about what if I had done this earlier.
Yeah, and you're doing it now, and it took all of that for you to get to this point. And I'm just like, that just also feels really nice to hear that, like, that's the experience you're having. Because I'm definitely, like, stepping into that right now and stepping back into my own life. And it's all because of Keke Palmer.
And it's full circle. It's all because of Keke Palmer. And it's all we can fucking do right now. I think that's all you can do is just try to be what you are at your best right now, and then don't edit it. And if you fucking fall or fail or whatever, it's like dems the ropes.
I'm the worst when it comes to like sayings. I know like my six good ones that I use, and even those sometimes I'm like, this sounds like appropriate for the conversation we're happening. But six to one, half a dozen of the other, teach your man to fish, and there's no I in team.
Oh, okay. I mean? Come on, scribe. Well, listen, because we have to sadly end this gorgeous conversation, I want to ask you a question that I did not prep you on, which is, Ian Padgett, what is the best Whoopi Goldberg film?
Wow. Ghost.
I want everyone to know that the hand gesture that went before the ghost was, I think, you really sort of taking in the power and then exploding with the ghost. And I think it's a beautiful answer, Ian. And did you ever see or have a part in the musical, Ghost the Musical?
I saw the musical, and I remembered not loving it. I remembered feeling, I was just kind of like, not for me. Like, it just wasn't for me. But then I listened back to it after, like, the music was together. The music was together. The
There's
vocals
one
were there.
Song I would, when I was like in a really sad place, I would listen to Kacey Levy sing "With You."
With you.
Oh,
with
it's
you.
So good. With you is, yeah. That's it. With you is it.
But like the way I will remember things, like, I just saw Six, the musical, a couple months ago when
I'm
I was
dying
in
to see
New
it.
York.
Dying.
You have to see it. It's so fun. And like, it's a 90 minute moment of like pure fun and joy and riffs and vocals. And these girls are like in their power. And that's really what's shining, is you're like, oh my God, like the script is really funny. The score is amazing. And like, they lift you up because they feel lifted. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I do. And they're coming to LA, right?
Are they?
I think there's a tour that's going to come.
Oh,
God,
Yeah. Oh, on tour. I thought you meant like they're bringing the Broadway over here for like one night. And I was like,
I wish.
They've never done that before.
Someone told me the touring cast is it as well. And I, of course, believe it. I cannot wait to see Six. And talking about stepping in your power, those six girls.
Oh, my God. Do you know the music?
I'm on purpose not listening to it because I want to be gooped. I want to be gagged.
Okay. Well, you're going to be gooped and gabbed, and like, we're going to have a Gabba Gabba after.
Gabba Gabba Island. I can't fucking wait for that. It won't be Ibiza, but it will be our own special place. And that is history. Ian, where can people follow you?
You can find me on Instagram at Ian Padgett or on TikTok. Or excuse me. Yeah, on TikTok is at Ian Padgett _.
We love the _ for the flavor. Thank you for coming on That's a Gas podcast. And Ian, you are everything and more.
Oh my God, you are everything and more. Thank you so much for having me. I'm like, we really hit so many points.
Check.
We got shallow, we got deep, we got like mid, it was everywhere. We hit all the tiers.
I think we did, and I can't wait for the girls to absolutely jibsoos over it.
Life is a workout,
And Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.